Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
A few years ago.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I was a bartender at Hooters. I worked until close most nights, which was at 1 a.m., and I would usually get out around 2. There was a Waffle House down the road that I would frequently stop at to eat after my shift. I was a recognizable regular because of my Hooters uniform, so I was well known among the staff. However, I never thought that I would owe them much more than a check for dinner. But one night, that changed forever. At about 9 p.m., a man sat down at the bar and ordered his first drink. He had an off-putting vibe, but far from the worst I've seen. He didn't say much, but I could tell he was checking me out whenever my back was turned. He stayed there for hours and ordered several drinks. During that entire time, nobody showed up to sit with him, and he made no effort to socialize with the other patrons at the bar. A minute before close, he finished his last drink and left without tipping. An hour later, I was freed from my shift and walked into the parking lot. I noticed a windowless white van parked in the lot. I knew it didn't belong to any of my coworkers, and all the customers should have been long gone. It gave me a bad feeling, but I didn't stick around to find out why. I made it to my car and drove down to the Waffle House for the meal I had been looking forward to all night. I walked in and sat down in my usual spot by the window. I made small talk with the waiter, but I didn't order. He knew exactly what I wanted, and so did the cook, who started making my food as soon as I walked in. Within a few minutes, I was served my meal, hot and fresh. I inhaled it ravenously. I hadn't eaten since I left the apartment. It was a while before I slowed down to take a breath. But when I did, I saw something that instantly made my stomach shrivel up. Out in the parking lot, just a few spaces from my car, was the exact same windowless white van I saw in the Hooters parking lot. I hadn't noticed it until then, but it was backed in and facing the restaurant, seemingly looking right at me. Suddenly, my food didn't taste good at all. I had a terrible feeling about that van. I tried to finish my food, but I lost my appetite. I waited for 15 minutes to see if the person in the van would get out to sit inside or pick up an order, but they never did. Finally, I decided I needed to get home, so I got up to pay. At the register, I asked the waiter to watch out for me as I left to make sure I got in my car. He had no problem with that. I left the restaurant and rushed to my car, then quickly pulled out of the lot. When I looked into my rearview mirror, I saw to my horror that the van had pulled out behind me. Terrified, I took the first turn I could. The van followed once again. At that moment, I knew I was being followed. I couldn't go home, but I couldn't drive around aimlessly trying to lose him and end up in a dead end somewhere. At first, I panicked. I just kept taking turn after turn, and each time the van followed. Finally, I figured it out. I suddenly jerked my car into a random driveway without signal. Then I backed out and turned around. Of course, the van pulled the same maneuver. I gunned it back to the Waffle House where I parked right in front of the door. Then I hurried inside. I got my first look at the man in the van as he got out and followed me in. I sat down in a booth by the kitchen and faced the door. The man who was following me sat in the booth next to mine and faced me, smiling at my panic and fear like the sick freak he was. The waiter came to me first, probably already aware that something was wrong.
Well, you're back early. You forget something? I came back for seconds. Could I borrow a pen?
Sure thing. I grabbed the pen and frantically wrote a message on a napkin. I wrote that the man was following me and to call the police. I handed it to the waiter and he didn't miss a beat. So you'll have the usual again.
Yes, thank you.
All right, let me get that started. I'll be right with you in 1 second, sir. The waiter walked to the phone and quietly called the police. Then he came back to take the creep's order. Then, it was just a waiting game. But I knew that was a bad thing. In the small town where I'm from, the police only care about speeding tickets. Their response time is abysmal, which gave the creep plenty of time to try talking to me.
So, you work at Hooters, huh?
Yes, I do. You're very observant.
Oh, yes. And I like what I'm observing right now.
Thanks.
How do you like your eggs?
Scrambled?
No. You gotta get them over easy. I love watching them pop and ooze when all the liquid runs down those soft, white curves.
Sir, I'm trying to have a meal in peace.
Listen to me! You're gonna be in pieces unless you get in my car and come home with me, you understand?
From that moment on, I was unable to speak. Our food came out a few minutes later. I couldn't eat a single bite. I watched the man in front of me devour his plate without taking his eyes off me for a second. The wait seemed endless. The waiter came and took the creep's plate away, and it was still another 10 minutes before the police finally made it. And when they arrived, it was just a single deputy. He sauntered over to the waiter. As I watched the two of them talk, I couldn't hear them, but I could tell that the deputy was annoyed by the situation, as if concern for my safety was beneath him. In fact, he shrugged. Then he sat down on the other side of the restaurant and waved the waiter over so he could place an order. I was furious. I don't think the creep even noticed him. The waiter was the only one who did anything. He cashed the creep out at the table. And then to my surprise, he started to shout at him to get out. The creep resisted, but after a brief shouting match, he left the restaurant, got in his van, and waited for me. The waiter told me that he would go with me and make sure I wasn't followed. Together we went outside and I rushed into my car, shaking like a leaf. The waiter stood in front of the van, blocking him from getting out of the spot unless he wanted to run him over. Thanks to him, I was able to get home safely. It was a week or so before I had the courage to go back. But when I did, everything seemed fine. In the years since, I haven't seen that sicko once. I had asked the waiter what he said or did to drive him away, but he said he didn't want to talk about it, in a tone that let me know he never would. To this day, I owe a lot to the staff of that Waffle House, especially that waiter. If I had driven straight home from work, I don't know what would have happened to me. That waiter saved my life and spared me unimaginable suffering. Yet what infuriates me to no end is how that cop didn't even seem to care. It baffles me that I can rely on a waiter at Waffle House to keep me safe more than a cop. I used to be a cook at Waffle House. In the several years that I worked there, I managed to avoid experiencing any crazy encounters because I worked the morning shift. Unfortunately, that peaceful streak came to a disastrous end a few months ago. It was about 7:30 in the morning. I was just getting into my groove during the breakfast rush when a man barged into the restaurant. Everyone stopped what they were doing and turned their heads for a moment. His erratic demeanor immediately gave away that he was on something. He didn't say anything or sit down. He made a beeline for the bathroom and locked himself inside. My coworkers and I rolled our eyes. We knew he was probably going in there to use, and I don't mean the toilet. We gave him about 15 minutes before we knocked on the door and asked him to leave. When there was no response, we got the keys and unlocked the bathroom. We expected to see some crazed, strung-out man freaking out on the floor, but nobody was in there. Nothing at all except a pair of soiled pants and a wallet. We had no idea how he managed to get out the door with no pants on without anyone noticing. and somehow he locked the door after himself too. I felt like we shouldn't go back to work until we figured out where he was or how he got out, but the waitresses didn't care. They didn't want to lose out on their tips, and made a good point that they didn't get paid enough to deal with that. They had me take the soiled jeans out back to the dumpster while they mopped up. Then we held onto the wallet in case he came back for it. The next few hours were brutal. We had wasted 15 minutes not working during a rush because of the incident. Thankfully, things eventually slowed down. But that's when I started hearing strange noises coming from the ceiling, like there was a raccoon up there or something. I talked to my coworkers about it, but they brushed it off and told me to focus on work. I tried my best not to think about it, but something wasn't sitting right with me. When I got to take a bathroom break before the lunch rush, I was a bit hesitant to go in there, but I didn't have much of a choice. I sat down on the toilet, and then I noticed something odd. The ceiling tile above me was slightly out of place. I looked through the gap and saw a pair of eyes staring back at me. I freaked out. I pulled up my pants and ran out into the restaurant. I yelled at my coworkers to come look in the bathroom, but by the time I managed to get them over there, the tile had moved back into place. They looked at me like I was crazy and told me to get back to work. I begged them to believe me. I was concerned for their safety. If he could peep in the men's restroom, he could peep in the women's restroom too. But they wouldn't listen to me. I realized I was making a scene in front of the customers and knew I had to calm down. I went back to work. But the whole time, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Every time a customer went into the bathroom, I wanted to stop them, but I couldn't. It ate at me for hours. I knew there was a creep in the ceiling, but nobody would believe me. Slowly, my frustration turned to anger. By the time my shift was almost over, I had lost all my patience and snapped. I went into the bathroom and started shouting at the ceiling. I knew that psycho could hear me. I didn't care if everyone thought I was crazy.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Come down here, you freak! I know you're hiding up there! Don't make me come get you myself!
There was no answer, but I had to put an end to it. I locked the door so he couldn't escape. Then, I stood up on the toilet and popped the ceiling tile out. I reached down to get my phone so I could use the flashlight. But then, I was grabbed and pulled up into the ceiling. I fought back, and in the struggle, the ceiling collapsed, causing both of us to fall onto the bathroom floor. Immediately, the man put his hands over my mouth so I wouldn't scream.
Shut up! Don't rat me out! I can't let them find me! I haven't finished my mission yet!
I managed to push him off me and get to my feet. And that's when I saw he still wasn't wearing pants. But then he did something I never could have seen coming.
What's wrong with you? Why were you in the ceiling? Damn it! You gave away my position! Now I have to kill you! Ah!
He grabbed the sink and ripped it off the wall. I backed into the corner, dumbstruck by his unhinged strength. He raised the sink into the air like he was about to smash it over my head. But then I was saved by a knock at the door.
Hey, what's going on in there?
Help me! You idiot!
He threw the sink onto the floor. Then he stood up on the toilet, started crawling back into the ceiling. I tried to drag him back down, but he kicked me so hard in the face that I hit the ground again. By the time the waitresses unlocked the door, he had disappeared into the ceiling. She saw the destruction in the bathroom and thought I was responsible for it. She grabbed me and pulled me through the restaurant, then tossed me into a booth. I was in too much shock to try to get out of her grasp. She started yelling at me and called the police to have me arrested.
Ugh, you absolute moron! What the hell are you smoking? There's no man in the ceiling, there's just you being crazy.
No, I swear, go look, I'm not crazy. There's really a man up there. Oh God, he's moving! I could hear him moving around in the ceiling, but nobody else seemed to notice. I thought I might actually be going crazy. The way I was acting surely didn't help my case. My coworkers kept me in that booth until the police arrived. I was boxed in.
Come on, get up. We can make this a lot easier for you if you come willingly.
No, no, it's not me. Look in the ceiling. He's up there.
Of course, they didn't believe me either. But then, the ceiling started to creak loudly, right over our heads. Everyone looked up as the panels bulged. And then, all at once,
the whole thing came crashing down right on top of me. Everyone ducked out of the way, but the man landed right in my lap. Pants! Give me your pants! Get off me!
I kicked him to the floor where he scrambled to his feet before the police could make sense of what was happening and grab him. He managed to slip away and run out of the store with the police chasing after him. They eventually got him a few blocks away. Suddenly, I wasn't so crazy. Everyone apologized for not believing me, but the damage was done. For a few hours there, I really thought I was having a schizophrenic breakdown. I couldn't go back there and work with those people. The building needed extensive repairs anyway, so I quit. I work at Denny's now, doing the exact same thing I did at Waffle House. Except there's nobody falling through the damn ceiling. I drove from my hometown of Gary, Indiana to party with my girlfriends at a club in downtown Indianapolis. We thought about carpooling so we could stick together, but none of us thought the city could be as dangerous as Gary. After the club closed, we walked to our cars to get on our way home. But as soon as I sat down, I knew I wouldn't make the drive without something to eat first. Waffle House has always been my go-to choice for situations like this, so I found the nearest one on my phone about 10 minutes from downtown. When I got there, I realized I had put myself in a sketchy part of town. But again, I didn't think it could be worse than where I was from. Besides, I needed food and I didn't want to wait any longer. I went inside and sat at the bar. It was fairly busy, as a Waffle House usually is at 2 a.m. But everybody seemed to be minding their own business. I ordered what I always get, and a few minutes later, I was filling my empty stomach with some much-needed food. About halfway through my meal, a group of people entered the restaurant. I had a bad feeling about them just by the way they barged through the front door. They didn't say anything to the employees. They walked straight to the back of the diner where there was another group of people sitting at a booth. The group that entered immediately became hostile and started threatening people that were sitting down.
I thought we told you never to come through here again. You can't stop us from feeding ourselves. Like hell I can't!
The two groups went back and forth, getting more and more heated with every word. I was torn between playing it safe and leaving while I still could, or sticking around and seeing where this went. Shouting and fighting aren't uncommon in a Waffle House at 2 a.m., and from my experience, the shows could be pretty interesting. Unfortunately, things took a sudden turn for the worse. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw one person stand up from the booth, and then I saw someone else pull out a knife. I knew then that it was time to get out. I quietly laid a $10 bill on the counter, stood up, and calmly walked to the door. By the time I made it to the first door, the fight was becoming physical. It wouldn't be long before someone got cut, or worse. I pushed through the second door, but that's when I saw just how dire the situation was. A large, muscular man stood in front of the second door leading outside, blocking anyone from leaving.
Please, just let me get out of here. I don't have anything to do with this.
I tried to convince him to let me pass, but he wouldn't budge.
Doesn't matter. You don't see anyone else trying to leave, do you?
I looked inside. The fighting was getting nasty. A pile of violent people had formed on the table where it all started. Nobody could tell who was who anymore. The other customers watched, but nobody got up from their seats. Then, the first sight of blood spilled over the edge of the table. In a panic, I tried to push myself around the man who was blocking me, but it was pointless. He shoved me back into the glass behind me. And when I regained my balance, I saw that he had drawn a knife to prove his point.
Nobody's going in or out until we finished our business.
A moment later,
The tiny thread of composure left inside the restaurant snapped as explosions rang out. At that instant, the deafening sound triggered a panic. I watched it form as every single bystander got up and rushed for the door. I glanced at the man at the door for a split second. His expression was the same. He was unaffected by the telltale noise. When I looked back inside, the mob had already reached the first door. In a split second, I joined in the panic and rushed toward the outside door. The guard shoved me back into the rushing crowd, which immediately surged me forward right back into him. That's when I felt the knife pierce my chest as I tumbled through the chaos, landing on the pavement outside. For the next few seconds, I was trampled by the stampede running from the danger. Then, quicker than it had all started, it was over. A handful of stragglers, I'm assuming the people who started the whole mess, ran out a few seconds after everyone else. The employees called 911, and I was the first to be rescued by the paramedics. The knife was still in my chest, which, while disturbing, apparently kept the bleeding from getting as bad as it could have been. I suffered a collapsed lung and a broken wrist, plus a dozen cuts and bruises, but I survived and made a full recovery. The same can't be said for everyone inside.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
One person unfortunately passed away from their injuries, and several more were severely injured. This all happened somewhat recently, so it will be a while before I eat at a Waffle House again. It'll be even longer before I step foot in Indianapolis. I always thought my hometown was the most dangerous place to be, but I was dead wrong.